14. We're going to take just a little piece. And I mentioned earlier that we would be looking at this passage, and this is not meant to be one that'll keep you here all day, which I don't ever want to do that. But this is one to say, listen, we need to know the difference between what Jesus wants to do, will do, what he wants me to do. And thirdly, how do I let this happen? I mean, if these good things are going to happen, how do I allow that? What do I need to do? And so it brings us all into this, and we're all responsible. Because in John 14, and you won't have this up here, but let me just lead into it. Jesus begins this chapter. They didn't have chapters back then. They just recorded everything that Jesus said. And then when the Bible was canonized, put into a book, and took all these writings, and they said, okay, the stories of Jesus and all the collections and his teachings. And then it was organized in chapters and verses, and people get hung up on that. The truth is, this read down Epaphras in a roll, and it was just a scroll. And there was no numbering, no lettering, no chapters and verses. That's all man-made. That's our stuff. So just keep that in mind. When you go in the scripture, that's why sometimes you'll think, why this verse should have been with that verse, and that's because it was organized when man put it together. They didn't rewrite scripture. That's just they put these chapters and verses to organize it for us. But yes, there's sometimes you think, That doesn't work. Forget it. Forget the numbers and the chapters and just read the Word of God. Don't get caught up in all the stuff. So Jesus begins chapter 14. He said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." And he just starts this off. He said, "I just don't want you upset anymore," is what he's saying. If you paraphrase this, I don't want you upset. I don't want you worried. I don't want you distraught. Just trust God. You believe in God, believe in me. That's all you got to do. That's a good word for us. We could really camp out there and have a message on that. Just stop worrying. Stop stressing. What are you worried about for? And by the way, why are you so blasted worried about what other people are up to? You can't fix them. Only God can. I get upset at these politicians. And I look at and say, oh my God, what's wrong with these guys? What's wrong with them? This gal, this guy. I don't know. If they knew me, they'd probably say, what's wrong with him? But I look at it. I never know who to depend on anymore. Here recently, some people that I thought I could depend on to support and vote a certain way now are leaning to the bad guys. There's good guys and bad guys. And they're leaning over to the other side. And it's like, forget it. I don't know. I know who's on our side. God is. And he says, Tony, no matter what, you see or think you see. And here's the thing. You ready for this? I'm going to say this openly and because this is where I see it. Now with this AI thing, and it's going to get worse and bigger, we won't know what was, if the person was really there, what they said. We don't know anything. I don't know if it concerns you, but it concerns me. They can put you anywhere. Have your voice in any way. And everybody thinks this is great. I don't. But that's me. That's not in Scripture. So here, don't let your heart be troubled no matter what. And then he says, Jesus said, I'm going and I'm going to fix a place for you in heaven and all that. And good old doubting Thomas. He said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Everybody needs a cynic. And that's what this is. We don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Don't you just want to slap them like that? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And then he goes and says, believe me, I'm in the Father, and Father in me. And then we get to this basic thing. He said, believe me, I'm in the Father, and Father in me. He said, or else just look at the works that I do and believe because of that. But then he takes it the next step. He said, most assuredly, what does that mean? I promise you, this is New King James I'm using. And he said, most assuredly, meaning I promise, I give you my word, here it is. I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he'll do also, and greater works than these he'll do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my Jesus' name, that will I do. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. He said, if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. Now that's what we have here. The other part of that is, if you love me, keep my commandments. And we'll get into that one another time. So let's just look here, and I titled this, The Work In of Christ Through You. And let's talk about the things that only Jesus can, that he's just going to do himself. And give me four quick things. What is something that Jesus only can do that you cannot do? Number one is salvation. He didn't go, and he said, you go into the world and do what? Witness, take my word, baptize them once they're saved. But there's too many churches and too many denominations, too many people, too many TV people who think they can impart salvation to other people. You and I cannot save anybody. We are instruments to bring them the word for the Holy Spirit to convict them, but only Jesus Christ through his Spirit can save anyone. Join a church, being baptized, being sprinkled, whatever it is, you know, what going through rituals will not get you to heaven. And that's something that we all have to realize. And when you see these services on TV, and you just do this, and you know, and I assure you this, and your name will be written in heaven, and all. You believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, and confess with your mouth God raised him from the dead, and you'll be saved. And that's the only way. So that's number one. Secondly, only God can heal. Only Jesus Christ is the great physician. So when, you know, you don't see them as much anymore, but when you see these healing services, and I used to see them years ago, and when I was younger, and they'd come into town, and they'd have tent revivals, and then they'd have healing services. And they'd get people going in, they'd lay their hands on them, and they'd pass out. Boom, they'd drop like a rock. You know, slain in the spirit, right? Yep. Jesus' power with you praying for someone can heal someone, but you don't have any power to heal anybody. Don't you wish you did? If I had the power in myself to heal, I would have touched myself on the shoulder and never had to go through surgery. Think about it. And so when he said, yeah, but that person prayed over me and I was healed. That person prayed over you because they were in the power of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit ministered through them and touched you. They didn't. We're too sinful to heal. We just don't have it. And this old flesh, no matter how powerful we are in the Lord and how anointed and how much he has control of us, but you know, you've had people touch you before and you could feel power. Well, that wasn't their power. That's Christ's power. They're just open to the power to flow. Hear that now. That's what he wants out of this. Be open to his power to flow through you. But never, never think it's you, or don't let somebody else convince you. Because I've heard people say, we need to go to Brother So-and-so and Dr. Skidlybach or whatever it is, and they'll lay hands on us because they have the power to heal. They don't have any more power to heal than a horse does. Or its relative, which I'm, you know, Jack. So, God has the power to heal, but he can use us as an instrument. So keep this in mind. This is not my calling, and it's not yours to heal. We can be vessels, instruments for God to heal through. Everybody with me? Any one of you at any time, God can just put on your heart. You go over and put hands on that person and pray for them. But don't let them give you the credit for doing it, because you and I can't do that. But his power, you felt God's power flow through people before, right? I mean, they just touched you and you were electrified. Well, it wasn't them, but it's sure a great thing that they let God flow through you. Yeah. So we won't belabor this. I don't know. For some reason, I'm hungry, so we're going to move along. Okay, so salvation, healing, and let me tell you something else you can't do. You can't deliver people. Only way that I can have someone delivered from satanic oppression, for demonic possession, only way that I can do anything like that is in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, not by my power. If you read carefully through the New Testament, you'll find a place or two there where some people tried that and the demons tore them all to pieces. The demons beat the heck out of them. Why? Because they weren't doing it in the name of Jesus Christ. So I can't deliver you from hell. I can't deliver you from a demon, but I can, in the name of Jesus, be used as his vessel to command and rebuke that devil, that demon, to leave you and it'll go. Is everybody with me here? Has anybody ever done that? You ever been involved in that kind of thing? Okay? Anyone ever laid hands on someone or just put your hand out and commanded demonic presence to leave? You have over there? There? Anyone else? Yes? Good. Now I have two, and it's been a while. Now I have to tell you this, and I think I mentioned this a long time ago. It's happened more than once, but every time it's happened, I was totally worn out. I couldn't hardly walk. I mean, my whole physical being was exhausted. I had to sit down and be given something to eat. Why? Because the human body can't stand up to those things. But I'm sure had it happen. And I've had people, and one specific incident, out of a lady came this deep, guttural man's voice, and it was blasphemous. And everybody freaked out. You can understand why. And, of course, I'm a lot younger than I am now. I'm like, oh, what have we gotten into? And I don't know. The Lord just said, speak my name and command it. Take authority in my name here. And I did. And rebuked that. And she just went limp and then just started speaking in the normal voice. And you just felt that thing go. I don't make a living of doing that. But if called upon, any one of us needs to be his vessel. But listen, that was not me. That was just God saying, speak the word, I'll do it. That's it. And then fourthly, there's just one other thing that you can't do. And there's probably several, but these are four big ones. You can't resurrect anybody. And it's like, well, that's crazy. We know that. Yeah, you're to be in my position. I've had people say, can you get over here and pray for my bird or whatever, you know, and they'll come back to life. If you'll just speak the word, really? Me? You know, the words I might speak could kill them worse. You can't perform a resurrection. You can't bring things to life. But you can be used of God to be a life giver. If we just let God's Holy Spirit fill us and overflow us, his salvation, his healing, his resurrecting power, his deliverance would flow through us. Did you know that's why we're here? Now let's move on. These are the works only Jesus will do. What about the works that he'll do through you on a regular basis? What are the works that he'll do through you? And let me say something to you. This first one I'm going to give you, it's just beat to death in the churches. I hit it all the time. But friends, it's at the top of the list in 1 Corinthians 13, over here in the Gospel of John, 1 John, all through Scripture. John 3:16, God so loved. That's it. The basis for our Christianity is God so loved you, the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Now listen to this. What works can Jesus do through you, and what does he expect you to do every day of your life? And it's love. And it's sacrificial love. It's giving love. It's petitioning love. It's persevering love. It's love that bears fruit. That's why you cannot afford to waste one moment of your life being mad at somebody. The scripture says, be angry and sin not. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. If you're going to bed upset with people, you've already disobeyed the Lord. And now you've become a problem, just like the person who hurt you in the first place. You're grieving the Holy Spirit. And this is not to condemn, it's to say this is the way it is. If you're carrying grudges, if resentment, if you've got some attitude, man, you talk about attitudes. I don't know how many, people have jumped on me about one thing or another and told me I'm this, I'm that. I don't, And let me just ask you something. How many of you in here have an attitude towards the opposite sex? Anybody being honest? Thank you. You just, somebody saying all men are and all women are, right? I hear it a lot. And I had people out and about say to my face, you know why you don't do this or say this or why why? Because you're a guy. I surely am. I ate sardines and crackers. In bed. There you go. And fried spam for breakfast. Really. Here's the thing. You see so many people, gender hating. And then this whole women's lib thing and the stuff we've lived through and trying to change. Listen to me. Just because somebody of a particular gender did you a bad doesn't mean that everybody in that gender is bad. And why do we do that? Or if somebody of another race really messed you around, stomped you down, that doesn't make that whole race bad. Now, I've heard people say, and then we have this thing, blacks and brown, and if you're this or that, and we got this big radical thing out there. If you're white, you're supremacist. You're this and that. That's the biggie now, right? And you speak, if you're black, you're this, whatever. And friends, where's that in the Bible? The truth is, I'm no more what anybody calls me than they are. I am a Christian born again, and I have faults and I have problems, but I have strengths too. And God uses those to help other people. And that's why you got to look at it. And I'm going to throw in a little aside in here. If somebody calls you a white supremacist, just say this: thank you. Appreciate the compliment. And it's like, I just don't take bull that much anymore. I used to. And you don't have to either. Love is tough and it's tender. And there's a time when somebody wants to accuse you of something, just to nod your head. I've had people many times say to me, Tony, you don't like women. No, I just don't like certain ones. So anybody that thinks that, now you can get over it. And if someone says, I don't like men, be honest, I just don't like certain ones. But guess what? There's certain guys I don't like either. Do you? I don't like any guy who's a loudmouth. But I have to love them. I'm being very personal here. But isn't it true? We need to be personal because we know we have these things. I don't like some guy that's, it's booming and we did this and it's like, shut up. And don't you feel that way, really? Do you think I've ever said those words? Of course not. I wouldn't say that. I'm a pastor. At the bottom of it, though, or on top of it, however you want to put it, you know what I'm required to do? I'm not required to like any woman or any man. I'm required to love them. I'm not required to hop in the same car with them and pal up with them. But I am required to give them food if they're hungry and water if they're thirsty. I am required by the Lord to be what He would be on this earth. Then that's love. And I'm saying these things and kind of going out, way out on the periphery here, not trying to make anybody irritated or upset. I'm doing it to say this. No matter what extreme that you may be in, or what you struggle, or what prejudices, or who you've been hurt by, all this, the bottom line comes down that God so loved you, He sent His Son Jesus, when you were miserable and sinful and didn't like Him. And so we need to remember and recall, He did this for me when we were yet sinners. It says Christ died for the ungodly. He died for us. So even though a person's sinful and they're acting like, you know what, our job is not to condemn them, not to judge them, but to love them. Mark this. Love does not mean I let them step on me. You know, when you love your neighbor as yourself, I'm giving you practical stuff and with the scriptural here, but this is scriptural teaching, but practical application. Jesus said, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Amen? Right? You know what I do in loving myself? I have to have self-respect and allow no one to disrespect me. Because when you begin to let people push your boundaries and disrespect you, you're not honoring Christ. And I'm not going to let anybody disrespect Him if I can keep from it. Are you? It happens, but if I can help it, I won't do it. And so for you to walk as a Christian should walk and to be healthy as a Christian should be healthy in spirit and mind, will, emotion, body, and attitude, you have to have spirit-filled self-respect. And that has to come from you, and respect for Christ and Christ's people. And if you respect yourself, most often others will respect you. And so when I have people, especially in this gender thing, and they say, well, you don't know what happened to me, and women are like this, and when, you know, the problem is, honey, sir, deep down, you don't have self-respect, and you let them do that to you. You could have got out of it, but you didn't. So don't come in here and tell me all this stuff when you could have said, I could have done better. Right? You know, we choose to get in a lot of these situations, and we choose to stay in them, and then we choose to go condemning everybody when we're the dummy. Get out of it. Take a hike. And you say, you're kind of a rough counselor, aren't you? Sometimes. And I really believe in the philosophy of finally, you know, you have to say to people in a nice way, but I can say it to you a little more strongly. You know, we've been meeting here 15 times. It's time to put up or shut up. And you say, that's ugly, Tony. Love needs to be tough sometimes. By the way, some of you need to say that in some way or another to some people in your own family. If you're going to come on the holiday and criticize my turkey, my ham, whatever it is, stay home. Because next time if you come here and do that, we're going to have ham and you're going to have spam. So the works that God wants me to do, Jesus, through me and you, is to love Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor, each other, and our neighbor as ourselves. And friends, the second thing, the works that Jesus will do, it will do. It's not maybe, will, is He's going to witness to you. He's going to reach out to other people, speak to other people. Just let your life be seen by other people, whether you want them to or not, and that's your witness. He's going to lead other people to Himself through you and me, through our attitude. So it needs to be right. That's why we can't afford to be mad. And listen, don't allow depression to hang around very long. I get depressed at times. It's not real common, but I have my moments. Especially when I've when I was trying to overcome all this stuff and had a lot of medication, God, I got depressed at times. And it just seemed like it took a long time to get all this stuff out of me. Any of you been there when you've been under anesthesia that much? And you just you get your nerves just get any little thing, and just this last little thing I had on my arm, it wasn't there very long, but it's enough added to the whole shoulder experience. And for some reason, a stupid woodpecker on the outside of the house. I didn't know what it was. I was sitting in there, and I was just trying to relax, and all this is, big old, y'all, a lot of you saw it, and it's all puckered up, and it was hurting, and there was this bink, 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 bink. And I kept looking around. I thought, what is that? Well, the first thing you think about is there a mouse? Did a mouse get in this house? And then you stand up and you start walking through the house. You say, what is that? And here's the funny thing. When stuff like that happens, when you get up and start looking for it, it stops. And go sit back down. Then, bing, 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 bing. And you get back up. And finally I thought, that's outside. So I go outside and walk around the house. And there's this big woodpecker just glued to the upper part of the house. Just pecking away. I went back in there to feed it. Lead. It flew off when I came back around. So don't anybody out there start saying, oh, you bird killer. No, it flew away. The point being, I was so uptight and stressed, I would have done something I wouldn't normally do. I would think it was funny, but it wasn't funny then because it was just at that right note to pierce through the brain. Does any of you ever have those issues? Yes, thank you. Kids can do it. Little kids can do it. They can hit a note that's just... I was in a restaurant here a few days ago, and I was sitting there, and I don't know what it was, and there was a little one over here, and these parents had this little one, but they let them go, and they're just running through the restaurant. But what is it about these little kids, and you know this, all of us, they'll suddenly just let loose, and they hit a note. I know these never have done that, but they hit a note that goes all the way through your spine, the top of your head, and every nerve in your body just goes numb. You know what I'm talking about? They're just that shrill, and you just want to turn around and yell, shut up. But you can't do that to little kids. People look at you like you're weird. There are people in life that's going to do that to you. And God is saying, I want you to love them. I want you to witness to them. This is a test for you. And I don't want you to let them get to you. I want you to get to them. I want you to lead them to me through them not getting to you. This is just practical application message today. We're not trying to teach a load of theology. We're trying to see what did he mean when he said the works I do and greater works. And he said, I want you to share what you have with others. If God gives you a blessing, be sure you always share with others. Share with your church. It doesn't mean you give it all away. It means you share some of it. God blesses you with whatever it is, money or some gifts or special. Share what you can, but be sure you share. Those are things that he tells us to do every day. And he says, give, right? Give and it'll be given unto you. Pressed down, run over without measure. Men pour into your lap. He said, I want you to give. Give to God your heart. Give to God your body. Give to God your whole being. Give to the church your tithe. And give to other people. It may be a salad. It might be some muffins. It might be a cake. It might be some deer meat. It might be whatever. Maybe God blesses you with a side of beef and you say, I'm going to give you a couple of steaks because God gave to me and I'm going to give to you. And when you give, when you tithe, God says, bring your tithes in the storehouse and see if I will not open up the storehouse of heaven and pour out such a blessing that you won't even be able to contain it. I wish people would get that. Because God says, you'll never outgive me. And this is what you can do. He said, this is not something Jesus has got to do. You do it. He said, you know I told you to do it. Just do it. And he said, I want you to teach. Be teaching all the time. Teaching what? Teaching people how to understand my word. Teach them what it means. Teach them what life is. Teach them what how God came into the world to give us life and give it in abundance. And he said, I want you to preach. That's what I'm doing. But you can preach with your lifestyle. There's some people that preach a greater message than I'll ever, ever be able to bring with just who they are. And then tithing, we already said. And he said, what else can you do? He said, I want you to live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. He said, that's not something I have to do, you choose to do. Jesus, I want you to choose to walk in the Spirit. And you'll not fulfill the desires of the flesh. By the way, if you're giving in to some temptation, if you're just being overwhelmed with some crisis in your life, and Jesus is saying, don't give in. Don't give in. You know, let the Holy Spirit do it. I'm using this to teach you, to help you, to get a handle on whatever it is that's bothering you. And he said, just let go and live. Let go and live. I've come to give you life and give it in abundance. What does that mean to you? He said, I've come to give you life. Start living. Why are you going around pouting and upset and your feelings hurt all the time? Why are you always, and it's always them and they, and somebody hurt my feelings, somebody spoke disrespectfully to me, somebody looked at me wrong, somebody did this, somebody did that. Why are you letting that happen? Live above it. Live beyond it. I have pastor friends, as you know, Daniel, we all know Daniel, and I have others, and we sit and talk, and they, because I'm the old guy, right, anymore. I never knew I'd be in that position. You're the senior pastor, really senior pastor. And they ask me, how do you handle these annoyances or these insults and all that? And I tell them the truth. I used to not handle them worth a flip. I'd go home totally depressed. Well, then, how do you handle them now? I just don't care. Why should I care what somebody else thinks? But I used to care very much. You know why? I'm going to close here, but this is important. I'm in the process of closing. I tied up my identity, my self-esteem, in what somebody else thought. It wasn't in what God said about me. And it took me years and years and years of going through hell with people jumping on you and criticizing you, finally to realize that's not what God thinks of me. He says, I'm His chosen generation. He died for me and rose again for me. Who cares what somebody else thinks of me? And that's why today I do and say the things I do, because I really don't care. But I care very much. And sometimes God, about what God thinks, and then sometimes I'll go home from a message or something and I feel convicted that God's saying, you're a little rough over there. I didn't tell you to say that. You know, you put your opinion in there, didn't you? And that happens. But I try to tell you when it's me, this is what I think. But the truth is, what we're talking about here, those are the works. Jesus said, if you believe in me, the works I do, you'll do in greater works. He said, I'll empower you for your love to be bigger and better than you ever imagined. And your ministry. And your teaching and your witness. And he said, those are not things that I only will do alone. He said, I told you to go into all the world, make disciples, get after it. I told you to let go and live. I want you to live happy. And I want you to live happy, joyfully. If you just read on, he says, you know, he talks to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Don't let your hearts be troubled or afraid. He said, I've told you these things so that this is in 15, so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be full. Why aren't you joyful? Why aren't you having a good time in life? I know you got troubles. I know there's things distressing, but friends, listen, the witness is that I've got to show people you need to see in me. You know, Tony's just not going to stay down. You know why you need to see that? Because when you get hurt, you get down. You need to look up here and see. We've seen that man struggle. We've seen him knocked flat on his face, and yet there he is. That's no credit to me, but that is to Christ and me, my hope of glory. And you know that's why God has had me go through a bunch of things, so you could look at it and say, well, dadgummit, if he can do that and God can use him and make him well, he can make me well. And he can. And he will. Now listen here. Jesus had only 12 people that he started this whole thing that's impacted us today, and one of those was a backstabbing jerk. Think about it. Just 12, and really only 11. And look what they did when he was arrested. Boy, they stood by him, didn't they? So if you've ever been abandoned, somebody's messed with you, don't get too upset about it. Okay, we're going to close. Did I say that a while ago? Well, we are, really. I'm going to give you some practical applications to how to let all this happen in your life. You ready? Get over yourself. Sure enough, get over yourself. It's not all about you. God doesn't have this church here or anything in your life just to be all about you. And it was brought to me just a few days ago. Someone was talking to me about an incident, and they said, you know, that person, it's just they're always hurt. Their feelings are always hurt. Their feelings upset. They've always been that way all their lives. I said, really? Yeah. And that's what the emphasis of this is, like, because it's always been about them. They can't get over themselves. They think that when they walk into a room, they go into church, they go to their work, whatever it is, it's all about them. That's about as selfish as it gets. Think about it. It's not all about any of us. This church isn't all about Tony. It's all about Jesus Christ. I'm one of his servants. I'm his coach, his under-shepherd, under-under-shepherd, teacher, preacher, pastor, but it's not about me. So how do you do? How do you let all this happen in your life? You get over yourself, and God will use you. I'm telling you, most of the things that all that needs to happen, you could sum it up in that one thing. Just get over yourself. Don't believe your own press. You need a faith overhaul. Every one of us needs to get our faith overhauled and get renewed and get down on our knees before God and say, you know what? It's been a long time since I sat down here and said, renew my faith. Strengthen me, Lord. I'm trusting in my wife, my husband, my kids, and my job, my money, my retirement, whatever it is. And it's about time. I got to get this straight, Lord, because listen, this thing in our government, is it teaching you don't trust it? Well, we were never meant to trust it. Somehow we fell into this thing. Trust the government. They'll take it. Are you kidding me? This is not against the government. Jesus said, have no confidence in the flesh. None. That means your own or anybody else's. Only him. So what do? You get a faith overhaul and you confess. You let go of all this anger and envy and fear. By the way, you know why a lot of people criticize you? If you're being criticized, why they get on to you? They're jealous of you. They're intimidated by you. They got to tear you down because they don't have what it takes to become what you've become. You say, this message is pretty, this is kind of straightforward. Yeah, it is, because I'm just tired of bull. And it's just time to put it right down the middle and say, this is the way it is. You're going to have to let Jesus be greater than anything in your life. And that means what you're mad at and your prejudice and all your fears and failures. I've got so many failures, I've lost track of them. How about you? Just about the time I think I've got something really conquered and defeated in my life, here it comes again. How about you? Temper? I tell God, you know, I'm doing a lot better. I'm not really letting things get to me. I'm not losing my temper like I used to. Don't ever say that. Because it's going to happen. I know all of you have it conquered, but I still wrestle with some of that. And give yourself to God by letting Jesus Christ be bigger in you than anything else in this world. You know what you need to give to Christ right now to be fully free and happy? Your body. Your heart. Your spirit. Your mind. Your will. Your emotions. You must grow more full and powerful than you are now in Christ. Give Jesus everything. Listen to me. Listen to Christ. Give Jesus everything that you can't control or that you can't fix. You can't fix your kids. You can't fix your husband. You can't fix your wife. You can't fix your friends. Why are you frustrating yourself trying to do it? Give it to Christ. Give them to Christ. Give Jesus your love. Let me say this to you. I prayed this earlier. Our lady lost her husband. And I said in the prayer, let Jesus become her first love again. Is Jesus our first love? Have we gotten a little lukewarm? Have we spread our love too thin for extraneous worldly things? Is it time to come home to Him and say, I want to return to you my first love. I've gotten lukewarm and I don't want to be spewed out of your mouth. That's what He says in Revelation. Renew my love for you, Father. Renew my fixation with you. Renew my being possessed totally by you. Bring this thing so real, so strong, so powerful that somebody can insult me today and I don't even notice because it's not about me anymore. It's about you. God, I want you to transform my life. I want you to help me realize I'm not the one to be in control and I can't fix everybody and I need to stop trying and I need to just accept it is what it is until God makes it different. And I'll just pray God will make it different. Until then, hey, it's all in your hands. And I've said so many times, it's one of my favorite, because it helps me stay solid. God's got this. God's got us. What am I worried about? Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus that you're with us. Just a practical teaching, not meant to astound us and roll us over and blow us away. It's meant to say, this is the way it works. And just take it and let God do the works that He intends for us to do. Because the Scripture says, for by grace are we saved through faith. This not of ourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So you put us here, Lord, and you planned before we were even born, before we were ever saved, certain works we're supposed to do. Well, help us to tap in on that, show us, and just keep us where you want us to be, doing what you want us to do. And we thank you for it in Jesus' holy name. Thanks for dying for us, rising for us, and thanks for being here for us. You've got this. You've got us in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Thank you very much.